If you run a business, large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes, because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're attuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, our listeners know this show is all about real ideas, real success stories on 77 WABC. This show, Mind Your Business, is all about you. It's about sharing business and marketing strategies to be successful and get ahead in the business world. Each week we feature a high-profile guest and ask them the questions that are on your mind. We're going to have a new segment this week. It's a sneak peek into an actual campaign produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group. We're going to have this in the coming shows as well. This week we're going to take a look at the recent campaign produced for Day of Jewish Unity. Frankly, what we loved about the campaign is the actual grassroots movement that resulted and far dwarfed the campaign itself. And, of course, that's the dream of every campaign, to set the marketing in place so that it goes viral and gets out there and generates a grassroots effort. More on that campaign later in the program. Special thank you, of course, to my esteemed colleagues, Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud, who sat in for me last week. I was out for Rosh Hashanah. And I'm actually going to be out for the next 2 weeks for Sukkot, and want to give an advance thank you to Bill and Jessica. They were excellent last week. Hey, George, how did they behave? I heard the podcast. They were fantastic. Yeah, give them a hand. Give them a hand. I'm here with Pesach. Pesach. They were fantastic. They sounded great. And actually, just like I listened to the podcast, anyone out there can hear them through the podcast on WABC Biz Radio. It takes you right to the podcast section. They interviewed Matthew Glazer of the Glazer Group, who shared really great business advice on starting and running a business. They also had a fantastic marketing segment on the show about online marketing. Really great material, and a special thank you to Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud. And again, thank you for sitting in the next few weeks. It's easy to connect with me on social media. You could connect with me on LinkedIn, Yitzhak Saflis, Yitzchok. Saftlas. You can follow me on Twitter. Twitter is usually where we put out the information about our upcoming shows and upcoming guests. And you can like me on Facebook. In fact, on Facebook, we're going to have up pictures sometime on Monday from this incredible show. And so, again, that's one of the advantages of following me on social media. At this point, we want to talk about our guest tonight. We have on the line with us none other than Mark Bodner, CEO and Chief Visionary Officer, more on that later in the program, of L&R. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am, Yitzhak.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us. Mark actually began his career 25 years ago as a systems analyst for Allied Supply, a wholesale distribution company. Mark worked his way and earned his way up the ranks, and around 7 years ago, when Allied was acquired by L&R Distributors, Mark was appointed president of the company. L&R today is the largest non-foods distributor in the United States. L&R employs over 1,100 people at five different distribution centers and manages more than 37,000 items in its distribution network. And they actually reach over 13,000 retail locations nationwide, in addition to their e-commerce division and other wholesale customers. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Mark Bodner. Mark, how are you?
Doing well. It's like doing very well, and thank you for having me. And I'm going to hijack you for a second here.
Okay.
In true L&R way, we start everything by going big. As a matter of fact, everything is about going big, which is to always be in gratitude. So I want to just express to the audience how wonderful I think this show is and how wonderful I think online marketing and does for all businesses, and really give a great shout out to all the wonderful work you do with L&R alongside us, and just being a great ear that I can speak to whenever I need to. So I'm going big and giving a shout-out to you and to your amazing staff and company.
Well, that's very, very kind of you. Thank you, Mark. It's really special. And it shows, obviously, what you're all about. We're going to jump right into the questions here on Mind Your Business. Again, you're tuned to 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, on your website, you state that L&R is not just a delivery merchandise company. You write, in fact, the way I quote, at L&R, we don't just deliver merchandise. We deliver solutions. Can you elaborate? What are you talking about when you deliver solutions?
Well, L&R is a full-service distribution company to retailers, mostly focused on supermarkets and drugstores, so anything from a mom-and-pop store, you know, drug or grocery store, to a national chain and everything in between. So we service independents, regional, as well as national chains across the country, specifically, again, in the supermarket and drug area. Now, in that area, the categories we service in those stores are generally, traditionally not, you know, a destination point for those categories. For example, you know, cosmetics in the supermarket. People go to buy food in the supermarket. And, oh, by the way, while I'm here, maybe I'll buy some cosmetics. Maybe I'll buy some office supplies or school supplies or hair care or that type of product. So, Ellen, so how do we, you know, we always ask ourselves the question, how can we, you know, get more of this product to move through this channel? So when we say we're a solutions-based company, we're constantly looking for ways to improve that. As a matter of fact, we don't just deliver product. And we do that. Yeah, obviously we do deliver product. But when we look at, you know, what is it that L&R does, we call ourselves a full-service distributor. So when we see a need in the marketplace, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about needs in the marketplace, but when we see a need in the marketplace, we try to fill that need in a very efficient, cost-effective way, always starting with as a mathematics project. So as we provide solutions to retailers, we're saying, what is the retailer's problem, and how can we solve that problem? So besides just shipping product, we have, as you mentioned, you know, over 1,100 people working for us, and many of those people are out there in the field, probably about 600 of them, are out there in the field visiting these stores and doing all kinds of work from consultative selling. You know, what should this store in this particular geography in the country, what kind of products from our catalog should this store have, specific, customized, and then how should they be displayed on the shelves, and then ultimately what's the best delivery system direct to the store through a retailer's warehouse. So that's really creating a solution for a retailer so that they can sell more product.
Well, you actually mentioned in that answer the need in the marketplace, and that leads me to my next question. On the website, you do have a drop-down that says full retail services, and under it, it says merchandising, resets, and data analytics. Now, I know you touched upon that in your previous, but maybe can you explain it through the lens of those three? Again, merchandising, resets, and data analytics. Can you explain each of these?
Sure. From a merchandising standpoint, if a customer is having issues at their store, or if a chain is having issues across all their stores in terms of personnel, you know, these are categories that don't necessarily turn over very quickly. Very what we call SKU intensive, meaning lots of different product, you know, and they're having issues managing it from a presentation standpoint. So we provide merchandising solutions where we actually send people into the stores, and their responsibilities are to go through the section, to clean it up, to make it look presentable. Not just write an order, but make this section, make the area of that store that we're responsible for, make it look presentable. Now, we do that for categories that we service, that we stock in our warehouses. We also do that as a standalone service where we will do merchandising services in a store where we don't sell the product. So we could have a category of merchandise that we don't do, say phone cards or gift cards, or even a category that we may stock, but that particular retailer is not buying it from us, but they just want us to handle the presentation at store level. So a merchandiser will go in and manage the order writing process, the cleanup process, even meet product at store level and put it up on the shelves for them. That's our merchandising services that we provide. In terms of resets, you know, categories of products are always changing. So when you walk into a store and you see advertising for new product, whether it be in the cosmetic or office supplies or any category, there's always, you go through any trade magazine or any magazine or internet piece or any blog, and it's talking about new products. Well, how does that product actually get to the store? How does that product get into the store? So we have reset teams that actually go in there and do switch out. So every time a new product is launched in the store, this product that's there that's no longer going to be active product, either discontinued by the manufacturer or discontinued by the retailer or discontinued in our case by the distributor because it doesn't sell or it's outdated, et cetera, and new product goes in. Well, to do that, the entire section of product has to come down and has to be re-merchandised, and that picture has to go up in the store. It has to look like a picture when it's done, and it has to be perfect. So we, you know, there's fixturing that's involved that you see in retail locations, you know, fixturing products and scan hooks and all kinds of, you know, different types of presentation displays. Well, someone has to do that. So in the categories that we service, we have reset teams that go in there and just completely will obliterate a section in a store, you know, and then put up a new section, just make it look perfect. That's our reset services. The next piece is data analytics, which is something that really helps drive decision-making processes between us and the retailer. So as I mentioned before, you know, demographically designing stores. We have stores all over the country, and a store in Chicago, and a store in New York, a store in Los Angeles, and everywhere in between has a different demographic. You can be in a low income area. You can be in a very affluent area. You could be in an ethnic area, and different areas cannot have the same product. So through our data analytics, we can overlay demographics, our product categories to help us define what product should go into what store, and then on the backside, how is it performing going forward.
Yeah, it's fascinating, just fascinating. And this information, obviously, for someone in the retail or even wholesale industry, this is just incredible information that you're sharing, and we really can't thank you enough here at Mind Your Business. But it's even for people not necessarily in retail or wholesale, there's tremendous tips and advice that you've heard so far and that we're going to hear from Mark Bodner. Again, you're tuned to 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. L&R has a number of locations nationwide. Again, this may seem like an obvious question to some, but to others it will be very helpful. What are the advantages of having multiple locations nationwide?
Well, for us, it's not an advantage necessarily. It's a need. We're servicing stores all over the country, and one of the key components, as we mentioned before, are these value-added services. One of the things that a lot of our customers want is they want us in their stores frequently, and that's leveraged to get us more business. For us to go to send. And I'll come around and answer your question directly in a second. I just want to give a little background. Mm-hmm. For us to go into a store and have it be a profitable event for us, we have to write an order, and we have to write a sizable order. We drive people to stores, which means there's, you know, expense to doing that. We have people going into stores and spending time there, and there's expense to doing that. So we need to get product to a store. So how do we leverage our service and our product is how frequently can we visit the store? Do we visit the store weekly, every other week, once a month? And people who are buying our full service program, which is merchandising, resets, analytics, they want us there very frequently and would give us a lot of, you know, broad breadth of categories to service at their locations. So if we're servicing those stores weekly, we are required to get deliveries there quickly. So we have distribution centers spread across the country that give us the ability to get to any location from the time the order comes out of that retail store to delivery in 3 to 4 business days. And that's a very, very key component. There are certainly challenges with running a multi-location business that come along with that. Some of the challenges is, back in the old day, I'm talking, 20 years ago, okay. Even 10 years ago, mm-hmm. It was difficult for me. In a distribution environment or a manufacturing environment, usually the office and the distribution center or the plant is connected. So if you want to see something, you want to see how something is working, you walk out of the office, walk down the hall, open the door to the warehouse floor of the shop, and you see how it's going. When you go national and you have multiple locations and there's something going on in California, in that distribution center, I just can't walk out of my office and see what's going on. So getting that culture to switch and that thought process to switch, it's how can I manage a business by not being there, is a huge hurdle to overcome. It's something I spend a lot of time, people ask me that question all the time, is how do I overcome that hurdle? And I was an entrepreneur, I started and I did everything, and now I have, I started out, I'm in a trucking business, I had one truck, now I have 60 trucks. I used to be able to manage everything, but now it's gotten so big I can't. And that's, how do you develop the systems and processes and put the right systems and processes in place to be able to manage multi-locations and still have that comfort that things are going to get done correctly.
Wow, fascinating. Now I want to jump to your mission statement, if I may. I know this is a little bit of a departure from actually the nuts and bolts of your business, but even to talk about the effort that you've made to communicate your vision. L&R, your new mission statement that you recently rolled out is USEFUL, which stands for the ultimate shopping experience for our customers' customers. What do you wish to communicate through this mission statement?
It's a great question, and another shout out for Bottom Line for coming up with a really amazing logo for that vision statement.
Thank you.
So if you're interested, you can see that on our website. There's a the ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer. That's and the beginning part of that is we are designers of the ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer, and it's more than just a mission statement. It's our why. It's why we do what we do. We are designers of that. The acronym USEFUL actually stands for Ultimate Shopping Experience for Ultimate Loyalty. Because when we focus on our customer's customer, so that when they walk into that retail establishment, everything is perfect, and the department that they're shopping in is easily shoppable, and it's neat, and it's organized, that is what every single one of us show up every day to ensure that we're doing. So one would ask the receptionist answering the phone, how is she contributing to that customer walking into a store and having a great shopping experience? How does that relate? It's an interesting story. I had an appointment one day, and the person showed up, and I went downstairs to the reception area to go bring him into my office. And he said, your receptionist, she just is outstanding, and she does an outstanding job. Makes you feel welcome when you walk in. And so I just want to, give her a compliment so you could hear that. I said, do you know why? I said, because she's a designer. She designs the ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer. You know what she's a designer of? She's our designer of first impressions. Because when people call and hear her happy voice and how she introduces the company, she's the opening act for a customer calling us. So she contributes to that vision by just giving such an amazing and welcoming reception. She's a designer of first impressions. And as we go through our company and start implementing this culture, it's really everyone has to ask themselves the question, what am I a designer of? So that person in the warehouse packing a box, that's the box that's going to end up in that retailer's store. They're designing that box to be perfect so that when that box gets there, it's packed well without any damages. Easy for the retailer to receive it. Easy for our people meeting that order to put it up on the shelf. That's how they're contributing to being a designer of the ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer. So it's more than just a vision. It's really what we do every single day and why we show up to do it.
And it's put so well in a succinct form. On the same note, I noticed from the work that we have the honor of servicing L&R, that you constantly challenge your staff, your team, to break the mold, quote-unquote, and to challenge a status quo. Can you elaborate on how these challenges, how someone that when you empower people to give them the space to have discussion about improvement for a company, what the result of such an environment affords a company?
That's I'm glad you asked that question. I just got back, actually. I was at an event called Unleash WD. It's really an event to distributors, but an event on innovation. But it's run by a gentleman by the name of Dirk Beveridge. And I just shout out to Dirk and look him up on Twitter or on any social media. Something very worthwhile for any business person and any business to follow. That's a great piece of advice for us. It's really helped me. So he has this thing that he says is, we don't challenge status quo. We have to get furious. We have to relentlessly get furious at the status quo. So what we have done internally in our company, and this is, you know, the president of our company, Riley, he's a real process guy. And when we talked about this, he went to work. And he came up with this concept of, why don't we have an intranet in our company. It's called the iNet. And the intranet's our own internal communications tool where we put all our communication. And he said, well, why don't we put something on the iNet to give someone a forum, a place where they can challenge the status quo, number one. Number two is, better yet, he said, and we have people in our company, people working in our warehouse, all over the, you know, every one of our facilities that may not have internet access at home. Why don't we put kiosks in each of our facilities where people, you know, can go and have a forum to log in and challenge the status quo? And better yet, why don't we reward them for challenging the status quo? However, we came up with this concept called challenging the status quo by, hey, looking at any existing process that we have or a new idea that you would like to see implemented. But it's required that you answer three questions. The three questions are, what are you trying to accomplish with this challenge or with this new idea? What's the biggest difference this idea will make in the process or in our company? And what's the best thing that will happen if we do this? What we get then is we get vetted ideas and we get vetted challenges. And in our company, if you put through a vetted idea, a vetted challenge over in our intranet, in our iNet system, or on one of our, what we call CSQ, very simple, challenge status quo, kiosks in our building, you get $10. Simple as that. If an idea that you have gets into a planning stage where we don't have to implement it, we may implement, you get $100. And the ideas are pouring in. And these ideas are refreshing. And they're good. And it's just really, when we talk about culture, and we talk about designers of the ultimate shopping experience, and that's our culture that we want, and we give people the opportunity for have them to not just feel that they're making a difference, but actually make a difference. That's how culture becomes sticky. You know, we can say, you know, Enron had culture too. Enron had it chiseled on a stone in the lobby of their offices, and they had their vision, and you know, it had to do with honesty and things like that. That was Enron. We know what happened to Enron.
Yeah.
So culture and vision cannot be pursued. It has to ensue. And the way you get something to ensue is you have people really buy into it. And to get buy-in, when people feel like they're making a difference, That's how a culture will ensue, and that's how we can ensure as top and senior management in the company that the culture of designers of the ultimate shopping experience for our customers, that's how it will ensue. One of the ways is by giving people the opportunity, giving them a tool and a way to challenge, give vetted ideas, and then see some of those ideas actually get implemented. It's very powerful.
It's fascinating. Fascinating. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we will continue with Mark Bodner, CEO of L&R Distributors. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success. Providing information about your services and programs, it has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
Okay, and we're back here on the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. I just want to give a special shout-out to Pesach Tropper, who's here with me, the producer of the program, and kind of oversees everything at Bottom Line, and also one of our new additions, Meira Bauman, who also assisted in the preparation for this show. Special thank you. Mark, okay, to what extent would you stress maintaining good relationships with customers? Meaning, I guess in other words, what is your number one piece of advice for cultivating customer loyalty?
That's a show in and of itself. But
oh, well, we want to have you back. Should we start scheduling that on the air?
got that. Appreciate that. Okay, that's really, I'm going to mention two things. The first concept I want to talk about is really around customer loyalty, is interested versus interesting, and really to ask yourself questions around what does my customer want that they don't know they want yet. So let's talk about interested versus interesting. So you go to a sales presentation, you go to a business review, and you put together a deck, a PowerPoint, and you have this whole thing. You work hours on it. And the first 10 slides are about whom? Well, most of the time, first 10 slides are about us. You know, my company, we have this many warehouses and this many employees and these computer systems and trucks and warehouses and all that kind of stuff. And what you're doing there is you're being very interesting about yourself. In today's world, in today's times, on this show, right, you've quoted my website how many times?
A couple of times, yeah.
Now, I can tell you, when you get into a meeting with an existing customer or a prospect, they've been to your website, they've been to your LinkedIn page, they maybe even been following you on social media in any possible way, on Facebook, God knows where they are. But they know how many warehouses you have, they know your truck. The fact that you're sitting in front of them in today's world means you've earned that right. So the question is, how can you start from the very second you're there, make it about them? I want to be interested about you. So when going to visit a customer or a prospect, learn everything you can about them and go in there with an insight about them and have it work something like this. Hey, Mr. Customer, Mr. Prospect, I've been in your stores, I've been in your business, I've been in whatever the business is. And I noticed this. You know, and we've been around that type of issue before, and we've had some success in dealing with those. Would you be interested in learning how we've solved that issue, this problem, this event that we see that you may be going through yourself? Would you be interested in learning how we helped solve a similar situation for a different one of our customers, and just be quiet. And what you've actually done is you've asked them permission to become interesting about something they're going to be interested in. And they'll give you the permission, and you've prepared for it. And it's just a great way to really show that it's all about them. What can I do for them? You know, Henry Ford had a great quote. If I would have asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. But I gave them a car. So your customer needs things and wants things today. The marketplace changes so fast. They may not know what that thing is yet. They may think they want a faster horse, when in reality what they need is a car. And if you can be that company that's ready to deliver the car instead of a faster horse ahead of time, think about the possibilities of growth. Think about customer retention and loyalty. It's awesome.
Fascinating, fascinating. You know, at the beginning of the show, we listed your title, of course, as CEO, but also Chief Visionary Officer. And I think through the way you've handled these questions, it's pretty clear why that title is listed by you on, I guess, on your business card at this point, Chief Visionary Officer. A really fantastic title, and I think our listeners certainly have a little glimpse at this point, probably a bigger glimpse than I realized. About why that title is so appropriate for you, Mark. If I may, I'm now going to turn to some to really cull from your vast experience, like a quarter of a century, 25 years, and turn it towards some other business tips and advice from your experience. In an interview that you had with Mishpacha magazine last year, you discussed some tips on hiring. What can you share with the audience of Mind Your Business for hiring and spotting a real find as an employee to join a team?
You know, these HR type questions, which is you know, it plays a really pivotal role in a business, and we found that investing in HR, just as a tidbit, is really important. So when we talk about finding the right candidate for a job, the first question is really to ask yourself, what is the job that I'm hiring for? What's the type of person that would do well in this job, right? So, you know, we people sit down in front of us in interviews, and you know, who is this person sitting in front of me? And then what are the requirements of this? I'm not talking about the technical requirements of the job. I'm talking about, you know, a big word here, the cognitive requirements of the job, meaning the type of person. Because cognitive skills, we can test for, right? Are you proficient in Excel? Do you know this system? Those are cognitive skills on how people, you know, that's, you know, we look at their schooling and their background, their history. That tells us so much about, you know, their abilities. But who is the, what's the type, what's the personality trait that I want to hire for this job? And what is the personality trait that's a fit for that this job requires? So around that, and I know it's like you're familiar with this, is we happen to use something called Colby. So in, you know, K-O-L-B-E. And it's a great tool. And really answering the question is, what is the personality type, or the MO, that this job needs? And then the person sitting in front of me, does their personality type or MO match the MO for the job? So we have gone through and designed a Colby job description, if you would, a Colby MO for just about every one of the jobs inside of our business. And when we go out and look to hire someone in a position, we give them, the first thing they do when they walk in is we give them a something called a Colby A test, and it's not a test. It's not like something that someone has to prepare for. It's asking them questions. And based on those questions, with just about, and I've seen it work, 95%, maybe even higher, accuracy rating, that Colby A and the Colby for the job, which is called a Colby C, we can match those two together. So if you have a job that requires someone to be asked a lot of questions. And really, we want them to really delve deeply into the subject matter of that job. Okay, so that's what the job requires. And now we have this person in front of us who has an MO of really delving into facts. And okay, so from a cognitive standpoint, a personality or modus operandi MO standpoint, we have a match here. Then we can go to the cognitive, do they have the skill sets? Do they know the systems needed? That's actually the easier part. And when we hire someone whose MO doesn't match, but they have the cognitive skills, very quickly they're going to start looking around and saying, hey, this is not a great fit for me. And you'll be saying, boy, they're not a great fit for this job. And they make a lot of mistakes. So we use that, you know, internally inside of our company, and it's extraordinarily successful for us. And it's just a very recommended process.
Wow. So this call, now, of course, I am a big fan of the Colby. I don't know if we should is there any downside for us disclosing our Colby score on the air?
it's a series of numbers, which, hey, I'm a my Colby, I'm a 4292. So you guys can look up what that means. Go Colby.com and try to figure out what a 4292 is.
Right, well, once you challenge me, I guess I'll divulge mine. I'm a 6383. So
you're talking we're similar then, but hey.
That's true. moving along, and we actually running out of time. This is a really incredible interview. And by the way, I just want to take the opportunity to also mention that on the archives at WABCBizRadio.com, people could pick up the incredible interviews we had. I mean, just to name a few, Matt Britton, the CEO of MRY, and the author of Youth Nation. He runs a major a company that markets to millennials, that specializes in marketing to millennials. One of our real popular interviews was with Captain Sully Sullenberger, the famous pilot who landed the U.S. Airways flight 1549 in the Hudson, saving the lives of 155 people. In fact, that interview was picked up in the New York Post. Then we interviewed Stephen Aldrich, Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy, Iris Ladowitz, Saul and Simeon Friedman, Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud, who the audience is going to hear over the next few weeks as well, Kenneth G. Romanzi, the former Chief Operating Officer at Ocean Spray, Josh Moore, General Manager at Uber, and many, many others. So in case you want to hear the first part of tonight's interview and any of the others, it's at WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, in the few remaining moments, a couple of important questions. Knowing what you do and in your role, strategic planning certainly has to be a big part of how you chart out your future. Some people, I shouldn't say spilled cold water on it, but they don't really feel it's all that important. What's your take and what's your position on strategic planning?
So I was one of those people, by the way, that you know, was very directive and had a culture in our company of, okay, let's wait for someone to tell us what to do. I was also very much, let's figure it out as we go along. And you know what? And I'm not going to even poo-poo that at all, because I do believe that there's a time and place for that. When you're a small, growing company, a startup, you need to plan, but you also need to move. I'm a big believer in motion, and getting in motion sometimes is step one, because you can plan so much, especially as a startup or a new company. And the market just passes you by. So, you know, being able to think quick on your feet and dealing with a small team, I'm not going to even poo-poo that there's a time and place for it. But as you're building an organization and you're that guy that went, and I use this, was actually at your conference last year, I met this gentleman who was in the trucking business, and I've spoken to him several times since then because we hit it off at dinner that night. And he said, you know, I started this trucking business at 2 trucks and 3 trucks, and I had managed everything, and now I got 60 trucks, and it's just I can't do it all, and it's all passing me by. And that's where, when you feel like that's happening in your business, it's time to start strategically planning. And strategically planning is step one. We talked about before in the question around challenging the status quo, vetting an idea. So some of the tools we've implemented, and and you know, much help. And I like giving people credit other than myself, because I believe that there is no original idea that I come up with. I just find other people's great ideas and then, you know, adopt them and maybe sometimes try to improve on them. But, you know, we belong to a group called Strategic Coach, and they have some great tools. And what I love about this is when people hear coaches, all right, someone else will tell me what to do. But they really give you some great tools. So we've taken some of these tools and implemented them in our business. Things like, you know, filtering ideas by asking, is this even a good idea before we do it? And we've adopted that into challenge status quo. So now it is a good idea. And how do we plan for that idea? So planning has got a couple of components to it. Let's identify obstacles. Okay, now we've vetted the idea. We know what the best case scenario is if we do it, what the worst case scenario is that we if we don't do it. And we have the answer that this is a really good thing for us to pursue. But what are the obstacles? And let's list the obstacles. And then let's go through and create strategies. And then take it to the next level. Once we have strategies, now let's start building our team for this idea and put timelines around each of those strategies to overcome obstacles. And now you have a vetted idea with a plan, with strategies, with a team, with a timeline. And now when you're in a large organization, you have accountability. And that's why strategic planning is so important, because you vet the idea, you answer some really good questions, you create the timeline, and you have a team around it. And now, even in a large organization, you can take a project and you can start running that project like a tugboat, because you have your team that can go left and right real quick, because you've identified obstacles, you've come up with strategies, and you don't have to move this cruise ship. You can take each individual project and run that project like you're a tugboat instead of a QE2. I find that to be a very useful way for us to, I use that word useful again, mm-hmm. a very useful way for us to go about implementing new ideas or changing a process within our existing structure. And so right now in the type of company we are today, project planning, vetting ideas is so important.
You know, just two notes on that particular answer. The founder and the CEO of Strategic Coach is actually going to be a guest here. Dan Sullivan's going to be a guest in a couple of weeks.
Great.
Yeah. And another point about execution.
I can tell you, I'll be listening to that interview, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sure you'll be listening live, and of course, it's available on the podcast. It will be available on the podcast after that interview. Another side point that I must give an acknowledgement to is Rabbi Meir Zlotowicz, where I worked at Art Scroll many years ago. There I learned the art, the really special art from him about strategic planning. I mean, anyone that is familiar with Judaica, English Judaica, knows the revolution that they brought and the impression they made in Judaism in terms of their products. And there's a tremendous amount of planning, and then there's also the real world execution phase, which of course is so critical to getting anything done. I mean, I don't remember the last count of how many titles they have out, if it's 700 or 800, but in their 35 years. But that's just an incredible art of planning and execution. Well, we're actually approaching the close of the interview, and I just wanted to end, you know, give you this opportunity. Any final thoughts for the audience of Mind Your Business?
Yeah, sure. I've got some thoughts I want to add on to the answer, because you actually brought up an amazing point in describing how Art Scroll goes about things. It's not just about planning, and strategic planning is important, but many times we plan and we forget that there's something called execution. Executing a plan is without that, nothing gets created. So sometimes it's very important to plan, but plan quickly and methodically, and do it well, but then execute. So, you know, let's not forget about the execution piece of it. You know, you've really hit on some, you know, great questions, and some of the insights that I think your listeners will be able to glean from the interview is, you know, interested versus interesting is something that has been revolutionary to me personally, to our entire team, our sales team, and when we how we deal with vendors, is pointing the arrows outward will always give you a result of them pointing back at you. So as you become interested in your customers and your vendors and your employees, and it applies to all of that, ultimately it's going to be good for you. If you're an employee and you point your arrows outward towards your employer, it will be good for you. If you're an employer and you point your arrows to your employee, it will be good for you. To your customers, it will be good for you. To your vendors, it's such an important concept. And it's all really wrapped up in this thing, how we started the show, in going big, to always be in gratitude. And a key component to being in gratitude is to point your arrows outward, point them to the other person, and what can I do to make that person's life better, their job better, their store better, their experience better, my relationship better. It's great. It's great business advice. It's great interpersonal advice, and it's something that if it's the one point that someone can take away from this conversation we've had today, it's something that I think is will go can go a long way in everyone's lives.
Amazing. A very special thank you to Mark Bodner, the CEO of L&R Distributors, for sharing some really incredible advice and perspective right here on the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. Mark, best of luck in all your endeavors.
Thank you, and good luck to you on the show and in everything that you do.
Thank you so much, Mark. Take care. Well, Pesach, what did you think of that interview with Mark?
Very intriguing, as we know Mark, and he always has really critical insights and vision that he supplies to businesses and anyone, really, to really get ahead.
Yeah, he has a great perspective. I actually think that the Mishpocha Magazine interview we have up on our website, if I'm not mistaken, I'll check, because he had a lot of great insight in that piece as well. And, of course, in case you missed it, you're just tuning in now, on WABCBizRadio.com, there is a link to all the podcasts of the previous shows and, of course, including tonight's show, so you can get the entire interview there. Well, actually, at this point, we're going to talk about what we mentioned at the beginning of the show. We're going to take a sneak peek into an actual campaign produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, and that was the recent campaign for the Day of Jewish Unity, which is on September 8th. And again, what was so important about it is that how it kind of took off, and that's what we're going to talk now with Pesach Trapper, account executive at Bottom Line Marketing Group. Some brief background. Bottom Line Marketing Group recently played a role in the exciting global campaign, Day of Jewish Unity. We're going to share with the audience some of the key pointers that led to the amazing success of that campaign. Bottom Line Marketing Group was approached by an organization that had a vision to unite hundreds of thousands of people around the world in a prayer effort to protect the Jewish people and democracies worldwide from the Iran nuclear deal. Now, we were given roughly 2-3 weeks notice for the campaign, and it all came together. So, Pesach, I turn to you. How did it get underway? Give some perspective here, please.
Okay, sure. So the first thing we did after we were approached and we given the green light from this organization was we needed to establish a clear action step to give to the potential participants. Mm-hmm. We needed to give the world something to hold on to. The global event happened to be coinciding with a special delegation of highly esteemed rabbis traveling to Radin, which is in Belarus, mm-hmm. to pray at the grave of the renowned Chavetz Chaim. Mm-hmm. So that was right away, that was the natural sort of date and time. We selected the date that this was going to happen, and we selected the time of when this delegation would be there.
To be parallel with the delegation.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
But then we still needed more. We needed something really that people can hold on to it and a clear action step. So we turned to our organization and said, okay, we need a specific prayer. So the Psalms or Tehillim chapters 20 and 130 were selected. So now we had a clear and easy action step to spread to the masses. Mm-hmm. Next, we needed to set a goal, a number to put out there. We, again, turned to the organization to say, how many do you, what's your projection? What's your goal? How many people would you like to be participating? And as visionaries as they are, they said 500,000.
Took a gasp there for a minute.
Did I hear right?
Mark talked about thinking big. You
right.
know?
So you're saying, so I was like, okay, so we want to get 500,000 people around the world to
right.
pray during a certain time on a certain date. And they said yes. So you said, okay.
Okay.
So with that, the Day of Jewish Unity was born.
Okay.
And so we had that part set up, and now it was time for, you know, action.
Mm-hmm.
So we quickly turned to our sister company, Website with Brains, to develop a cutting-edge website for the event.
Mm-hmm.
The website was to serve as a central landing area for, you know, participants to, you know, all the information relevant and to actually join in the event.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was the time for the challenge to get the actual momentum and participation around the world. And we were dealing with a limited amount of time.
Right.
The strategy needed to be aggressive, targeted, and effective. Bottom line, marketing group developed a multi-layered campaign that would blend print, digital, and radio, which is key in a campaign of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign rolled out with some hard-hitting ads and press releases through the U.S. and around the world to really start that buzz, to generating that buzz that would be the introduction for a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
The event, as we mentioned before, was closely tied to the Iran nuclear deal,
mm-hmm.
presenting a very unique opportunity to gain traction within the social media sphere, as this is a natural news story.
Mm-hmm.
But we needed to really get the message out in a big way to get to our 500,000. We again turned to our in-house video team to develop a series of 10 to 30-second clips, as you know, the nature
right.
of social media
right.
to really drive this message home.
Mm-hmm.
With that, and conjunction with some creative posts that we developed, the social media campaign was ready to launch.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of the event, along with the strategic plan, really worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Within a matter of days, we started seeing a crazy amount of engagement, because the campaign was essentially taking a life of its own,
mm-hmm.
gaining traction. We had not expected that. We weren't planning for that. And next thing we knew, it was just people were commenting, people were sharing. It was really getting out there and going viral in an unexpected way. Like, for an example, the videos were watched over 200,000 times. I mean, that's a combined number, but
wow.
200,000 times, and the overall campaign reach worldwide was over a million people.
Hmm.
So we were everywhere, and it was really, you know, making some waves. In fact, some of the major media outlets started picking up on it.
Yeah, there were many papers that picked up on it nationwide, and then even the Times of Israel had a fascinating editorial on it. It was covered on national television in Israel.
So it was really, you know, taking this grass. People were picking up on this essentially grassroots movement, which was sparked by this incredible organization. So at the end, you know, we pulled together, and the estimates for the day were well beyond the 500,000
right.
goal,
right.
and it was an incredible day. Just to sum up, I think that the bottom line action steps for, you know, a campaign of this nature would be, number one, make a clear call to action. Number two, set a goal. And number three, make your cause or brand relevant.
Yeah, that's a great wrap up. And of course, the most exciting part and rewarding part to be part of such a campaign is when there's some type of marketing behind really any campaign. But when it goes viral and it just picks up, that means a chord is being struck.
Exactly.
And you have that with great viral campaigns where it just takes a life of its own, which this campaign did.
Great. Yeah, that was definitely
really, really special. Well, first of all, thank you very much for that wrap-up. And in the coming shows, we will have a sneak peek at a particular campaign or a project that Bottom Line Marketing Group is involved with. And like this, to give some perspective and the action steps, et cetera, on how it became successful. Well, we want to thank the wonderful audience. First, we have to, of course, thank Mark Bodner for being with us on tonight's show. Special advance thank you to Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud, who will be sitting in for me for the next 2 weeks. George, make sure they behave. I'm sure they will. They're fantastic. And again, a special thank you to all for tuning in. This is the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. Thank you again. Take care.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he brings his business and marketing expertise to 77 WABC. Tune in to Mind Your Business every Sunday night from 11 until 12, right here on 77 WABC.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.